League, we don't know yet. Still a couple of games to go there. Washington, a winner over L.A., 8-3 last night. The Nats lead that series 2-1. And how about San Francisco? That even-numbered year thing's not done yet. They stayed alive last night with a 6-5, 13-inning win. They still trail the Cubs 2-1 in the National League Series.
Giants are the bad penny of Major League Baseball. Can't get rid of them.
Can't get rid of them, at least in those even-numbered years. Those are headlines this afternoon, brought to you by Tiller & Rye, your local grocer on the corner of Main and Wilson Streets in Brewer. Up next on Downtown, let's get on board the G&M Family Market phone line, and welcome to the show. Talented writer based in Boston, works for USA Today. Also, you've seen her work on Boston.com and For the Win. Charlotte Wilder joining us on the phone this afternoon. Charlotte, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Rich. Great to be here.
Well, it's cool to have you on and to know that apparently we run in the same circles, since you're out there tweeting with our friend Josh Gondelman, who's on the show later today.
I know. Can you believe that? I saw that. And you're having Chad Finn on, right?
We are, yeah. It's a crazy small world.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, Chad and I worked together at Boston.com when I was there, and he's just the best. So, great choice.
Absolutely. Yeah, we love Chad. So, for anybody who, for some reason, doesn't know, can you share a little of the background information of how you got into the business, where you're from, that kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. So, I grew up in Boston and actually have a bunch of ties to Maine, too. My parents met up there. Both of the grandparents are up there. And went to Colby College. And from there, when I was at Colby, I started my own blog called The Wilder Things, which is why I have that Twitter handle still. I took a bunch of photos, too, so I would put them up there, and it was basically just my scatterbrain thoughts. But we didn't have a journalism major, so I kind of knew that I would have to kind of bushwhacked my way into the industry. So I wrote this blog for a while, and for some reason people read it. And from there I went to America's Test Kitchen, where I was a web editor at Cook's Illustrated and Cook's Country Magazine for 2 years or so. And then from there I went to The Globe, where I was working at Boston.com. And in March I started at USA Today, and actually, I left Boston, so I live in D.C. now, but sort of maintain those Boston ties.
Now, just to clarify, you were at Colby, but not at the same time Billy Bush was there.
Our most infamous alumni right now. we did not overlap, although I tweeted something the other day where I was like, I call writing the fall from grace profile. So, Billy, if you're out there.
There you go. Charlotte's ready for you. That's fantastic. Well, let's talk about last night. For anybody who's a Boston fan, that was such an emotional night last night, the loss, and then Poppy coming out one last time. From your perspective, did that make it better or worse to see Poppy out there with tears rolling down his face?
Oh, God. That's a really good question. I feel like things were at that point sort of so far gone where to have him come out was kind of a testament to who he is and what he's meant for the city, that after a loss he can stand on the mound with tears flowing down his face and the crowd is just chanting his name, and have it be kind of just as incredible as if they had won. You know, I'm not sure that it doesn't feel like the send-off he deserved in terms of the way the team played, but I do think that no matter how it ended, it was going to be really, really moving and poignant and important for the whole region, really.
Does it take some of the sting out of it to see Terry Francona down there on the field celebrating?
Oh, God, isn't that funny? I think so. I think that, you know, he was obviously incredible for this team and for so much of what Ortiz of his time there. It was sort of poetic, I guess, to have it all come full circle that way.
We're talking with Charlotte Wilder. You can follow her on Twitter at The Wilder Things and read her work in USA Today and For the Win. Let's talk about the wonderful piece that you did, Charlotte, about spending some quality time with Julian Edelman and a bunch of his female fans and a really interesting situation. Can you explain first how this all came together and what your concerns were going into this?
Yeah, absolutely. So I originally saw his, so back up for people who don't know, I went to a Julian Edelman Women's 101 football clinic. And it all came about because it was a few months ago, actually, that I saw this first cross. I think it was on Twitter. He had tweeted it out, maybe, or somehow I ended up on this link where it said that Julian Edelman was going to be putting on a clinic for, and you could pay anywhere from, you could pay either $299, $600, or $3,000 for different levels of a night learning football from him at Gillette. And it was actually the price point that really caught my eye, because, you know, these sports nights for women have been something that's fascinated me, because they're very hard to do well, if even possible to do well, because the general gist of a 101 night for women is that, you know, women don't know sports, and a lot of women know sports, and yet they don't have one-on-one nights for men when there are, you know, men, some men don't know sports either. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wanted to see what an event like this that was specifically for women but with such a high price point was going to be like. And so I contacted the company ProCamp that was putting it on and told them I wanted to write about it, and they said sure, and off I went to Foxborough.
And you found out that most of the women there were sincerely interested in the football aspect of it, and the fact that they got to meet Julian Edelman was kind of a bonus, icing on the cake, if you will.
Yeah, you know, it was funny, because I found that my takeaway was that you could have either put on just a night of football at Gillette with none of the Patriots, and had a place where women could go, and a lot of them said they really just, they were there because it was an incredible opportunity to get to be on the field at Gillette, which, you know, they're these dedicated fans. They knew a ton about the game, and they just wanted to be able to, you know, toss a few footballs where their heroes do. But on the other hand, you had women who, it was sort of like they were there for two reasons at the same time, and they didn't necessarily overlap. It was, you know, the football was a draw, but then there was the Edelman draw. And some women were more there for Edelman, and some were more there for football, but there was sort of a parallel narrative going on, is what I found.
And apparently there were some women getting a little too close for comfort. They're acting as if they were, what, Republican candidates for president, I guess.
Yeah, oh, God. I was up in a private suite. It was me, Edelman, the CEO of ProCamps, Adam Ross, and Edelman's social media guy, and maybe his personal assistant was there too at this point. And it was sort of early in the night, and he had already made it through one of the rooms. And he's just sort of signing stuff, and we're all chatting and hanging out. And all of a sudden, he looks at the CEO, and he goes, "Hey, man, can you have someone be around a little bit more? Like, people are grabbing my butt." And I was like, I was sort of, you know, this is a journalist's dream to hear someone be so candid. And the CEO sort of turns and looks at me in horror and then looks back at him. He's like, "Oh, sure, absolutely, I'm sorry." And I was like, "Yeah, that's probably going to be my lead." So
there you go. Charlotte, now, you're also writing and have written today about Dancing with the Stars. Is this because you're a fan, or was this some sort of punishment?
It's sort of, I think I'm a masochist. I think it's self-inflicted punishment. No, I, what happened was I did recaps of The Bachelorette when Jordan Rogers, Aaron Rodgers' brother, was on it, just because I thought it was so funny that this guy who had tried to play pro football, gotten dropped by three teams, ended up in the Canadian League for a year, and then couldn't get a job as a broadcaster, resorted to reality television. And so I tracked him, and I wrote about that series as though it were, you know, grading players week to week in the NFL. And it kind of took off. People seemed to sort of find my analysis of Jordan's emotional vulnerability somewhat funny. So I thought I'd give it a try because there's so many athletes on Dancing with the Stars, and you know, I think it's more correct to call it the Ryan Lochte Rehabilitation Tour. But it's always interesting to see how famous people or people who want to be more famous than they are or less infamous than they are use reality television as a way to kind of, you know, clean up their image.
Yeah, now, our worlds collide there yet again, although he's been eliminated. But another friend of the show was on there early in the season, Rob Van Winkle, best known to the world as Vanilla Ice.
Oh, no way. Does he come on the show a lot?
He has been on, and he's coming on again in a few weeks because he's coming here to Bangor on the I Love the 90s tour.
Oh, wow. You got to ask him everything. That's incredible. He he did a great dance to his own song.
Well, he's got those moves, 30 years of practicing them, right?
I know. Gosh, he doesn't quit, does he?
He doesn't. You know, he's either dancing or out renovating houses or doing what he does. Well, Charlotte, we absolutely love your work. You're a fantastic follow on Twitter. Now, here we are. We've got 3 weeks left in this presidential campaign. So before we let you go, can it get any stranger? And where do you see it going from here? Is there a chance that at some point Trump's head will just explode on live television?
Honestly, Rich, first of all, thank you for those kind words. I think some of the stuff that comes out of my brain is probably more bizarre than anything else. But in terms of, oh God, I've just been watching this. It's like a train wreck, or like a broken roller coaster, or like a. I tweeted the other day. I imagine it must have been what the election cycle and the Hunger Games was like. It's just so ugly, and I just feel, you know, I can't believe that this is a real thing that is happening in our country. And, you know, at this point, I wouldn't be shocked if his head just sort of exploded as he's sending out a tweet or something.
It's something I'm hoping for and looking forward to simultaneously. Now, listen, I just saw your tweet. You mentioned dad jokes. What, have you seen the way I dress? Is that what that's about?
Oh, no. I tell jokes that are generally, you know, like the bad jokes your dad would tell at Thanksgiving.
That's why we love your work right there. Hey, Charlotte,
well, thanks,
it's a treat for us to talk with you. Hope you'll come back and do it again sometime soon.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure.
Pleasure to get back to my main roots at all.
Absolutely, and we'll say hi to Chad and Josh and all your other friends who apparently make up our entire guest list.
I love it. I love it. You've got good taste.
All right. Thanks, Charlotte. We'll talk again.
All right. Bye.
Charlotte Wilder, USA Today for the win. Check her workout and, again, follow on Twitter.